These two revelations can really change some things if you really hear it. A lot of times, because we hear so much, we don't hear what's being said. I encourage you to listen to this till you hear it. Amen. Because sometimes I'll talk to people and I can tell whether they heard it or not. Amen. But if you hear it and hear what's being said, faith will come. Now, it's actually not my message. I'm preaching a friend of mine's, Michael Fuller's message. I'm going to preach his message. He gave this to me, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty profound. But I'm going to preach it once and give him credit. Amen. But after that, Michael, this is my message. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this revelation. We thank you for this message. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing. We give you all the glory today. We ask for the seven spirits of God to anoint us today. We thank you for the anointing today, the anointing our ears to hear, our heart to receive, to open our spirit, to understand, to see, and to act upon these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you are a babe or new, it takes time. Sometimes some people, they're just born again and they're off and running. I was just born again to give. I mean, some people are just like that. They give everything. Some people have a hard time in that area. Some, it's a struggle for them. Some people have been burned in that area, and it's a double struggle because they've been burned in certain places that took advantage of them, and they've not been able to overcome and do it the right way. And so they let that trespass, or a ministry trespass, they let that hold them back. But if you can get into the proper position with God again, the blessings will flow. He said they would. However, in the beginning, it might take faith to do that. I can recognize that for some people. It might take faith just to give 10%. Because sometimes the bills will come in. You're not used to doing this. You're not used to seeing God come through. You're not used to putting him first. And you got to put faith in it. And you got to put him first. And you got to do it. After a while, tithing doesn't require faith. It's not a thing of faith. But what it is of, it's a thing of honor. And the honor factor has to be kept, because that's what the Lord wants more than anything, to keep a continuous honor over time. Amen? Because sometimes it'll just become a thing you do, and you've got to watch that. You got to keep the honor, and that's just like anything else. We have to keep the honor in giving him the first fruit of our day, the honor and worship. You're coming to worship God. You're coming to meet with God, even especially in a corporate setting. We don't do that very often during the week, and when we do that, we should be giving him our very best. There's an honor factor. I'm going to share a message with you my friend Michael Fuller shared with me. It's really profound. So now, I want you to go to John chapter 12. Michael started texting me through this, and I was all up in this other one. I'm like, man, I got to teach that. Just let me teach this, but I am going to roll this one out, because the Father also gave. Amen? Let's look at verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or seed falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. Now, there's a revelation right there. If this don't get up in the ground, it's going to abide alone. I don't care how much faith you have. In this particular operation, you can't stand in that field and command corn to grow. I command the corn to grow. I command the corn to multiply. And the seeds in my hand, I command. I take one little bitty inch of my seed, I put it right here, but I command 1,000 fields to grow. That don't work like that. If it does not fall in the ground, it will abide alone. It's going to stay alone. Amen. I don't care how much faith you have. When it comes to seed time, offering and kingdom seed, you have to release. Even the Father had to release. And I can promise you, this wasn't easy. The Father gave probably the single greatest seed ever. Not probably, he did. He said, except if the seed fall in the ground and die, but it abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was literally speaking of his own death right there. He said, I am the single solitary corn of wheat. I am going to fall into the earth. If I stay where I'm at, I'll abide alone. But if I am sown, our Father will reap an untold harvest. And to this day, that harvest is still continuing. It's still multiplying. Now, go to John chapter 19. Let's look at verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes and spices, as the manner of Jews was to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was what? A garden. What was he? A seed. And in this garden, there was a new sepulcher wherein never man was laid. Nobody had ever been planted in this garden. This one was reserved for Christ himself. And this where they laid Jesus, therefore, because the Jews, the preparation day. So God had him a tomb in the middle of a garden. Who puts a tomb in a garden? The two places don't match, but God put a tomb in the middle of the garden. Because it was a seed that he was planting in a garden. And that garden was going to become a vineyard. And that vineyard was going to roll out fruit for all eternity. He said, if the corn of wheat falls in the ground, it will what? Die and bear what? Much. What did God say about him to Abraham in Genesis 22? He was speaking to his seed. Go to Genesis 22 and let you look at it. Because all Abraham's life was about getting this seed in. And all this seed was about is God planting him into the earth. Right? Look at verse 16. The father was speaking to his own son in Abraham's loins. Because Abraham, he said, because you have withheld not your own son, I will not hold my son. I'm going to give my son. He stayed the hand of Abraham because he knew Abraham was going to do it. He said, because you were going to do it, I stay your hand, but I'll give mine. And by myself, I swear, and to myself, father swearing to this seed, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing, and not without thy own son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand that is on the seashore, and thy seed will possess the gates of his enemy. And thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He's speaking to Christ. He's speaking to this solitary corn of wheat that was planted in that garden. Look, God's already planted this. We're already in the reaping phase of this. Amen. God's already multiplying him. He'll multiply him in salvation. He'll multiply him when he's inside of you in peace and love and glory. He'll multiply him in rest. He'll multiply him in inheritance. He'll multiply him in all manner of fruit. Everything that he is gets multiplied. Why? Because he was planted. He no longer abides alone. All that he was is now in us. The Father sowed. The Father, he took the most precious. Sometime, and I'm telling you this, you have to come with the precious. It's the precious things. Those are the things that move heaven. Something that's moving out of your own heart. Amen? Go back to John 12 where we spoke about this seed. Let's look at an offering. Something happened in that chapter that was preparing for all this. Amen? So John 12. Okay, remember John 12? He's speaking the corn of wheat. All of this is still in subject, and I'll show you why, because he's backing up now where he was. Now, all this started with what happened here in John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before Passover, so how far is he now from his death? 6 days, a week out from being planted into the earth. 1 week of his planting, God is orchestrating something. And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Signifying, hey, this seed might be planted, but I'm going to raise it from the dead. And I'm going to show you before God raises me from the dead that I'm coming out of this grave. Verse 2. They made a supper. And Martha served, because that's what Martha does. Martha, Martha, thou cumbered about much serving. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken from her. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Later on, they said the Jews conspired to kill Lazarus again. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? I mean, it already raised him from the dead once. We're going to kill him again. Can you imagine that dead man walking around 3 days in the tomb and everybody knew it? It shook the religious sector down to their knees. And then took Mary. A lot happens when you sit at the feet of Jesus. You get in on some good stuff. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, God gets you in on some heavenly, eternal things that you would not have been in on when you're cumbered about by much activity. Amen? There they made a supper, and Martha served. And Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. I don't know what very costly was, but I'm sure it was a lot. Because Judas commented on it. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Wow. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The incense filled the house. There were the religious leaders in there. And she wiped his feet with her hair and this very, very costly ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas, of course, who would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? We could have fed a whole city with this. Like he cared about the poor. He cared about the money bag. But this lady, this something that she had collected for a very long time. And she poured out an offering upon his feet that day. And he said, not that he cared for the poor. Thank you, Lord, for confirming that. But because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Jesus was so concerned about finances that he put a thief in charge of the bag. And he knew he was a thief. And he knew he was stealing from the bag. How could you walk with the Lord and steal from the bag? I mean, that is just dumb multiplied. He so knew his Father could multiply. Even if the thief stealing it, my Father will multiply it. He had no care. He knew who he was. Amen? Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial hath she kept this ointment. For the poor always you have with you, but me you do not have always. She's done this for my burial. She is pouring out this costly ointment upon me. She is preparing. Remember what happened in the garden? They said they anointed the bodies according to the manner of the Jews. The Holy Spirit anointed an anointing service. He orchestrated an anointing service to anoint the seed that was going to be planted into the earth. And he used Mary to do this. Now, I want you to see in closing what God thought about this. Because you don't see what God thought about it in this passage. But because we have Matthew, you will see what God thought about this. So go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head. Now here it is. She's poured it on his head. So she poured it on his feet and on his head. She was anointing the seed. that was going to fall into the ground, that was going to be planted in the garden. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose was this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said, why trouble you this woman? She has wrought a good work upon me, for you always have the poor with you, but me you do not have always. For in that she poured this ointment on my body, she did it for the burial, for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever soever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, and you can add for eternity to come, there shall also this that this woman had done be told for a memorial of her. She will be added to the eternal gospel, and what she has done will be preached out through the ages. Her offering will go on and on and on and on. The poor you'll always have. This generation will die. The poor will die. But this offering will never die. Because she is anointing a seed that's going to fall into the ground. And that anointing is being put into this seed. And it's being pressed in. And I'm going to be buried. And when I rise, I will be multiplied by my Father. And this will be a memorial to her for all eternity. How many times has this been preached in the last 2,000 years? How many times has her offering been mentioned? How many times, because God added it to the eternal scripture as the gospel of the good news? I told you, you don't get very many offerings like this. One that keeps going, memorialized, and continues on. Say, Father, grant me in this lifetime somehow, some way to grant an offering like this. I want one of these. When I saw this, I said, I want one. I don't know how. I don't know what can constitute that. David touched the heart of the Father when he decided to build a tabernacle for the ark. And he gave the seed for the whole temple. The ark was laying waste, and he said, I want to build a temple around this and house it. And I said this the other night, Nathan got so excited about it, he was like, whoa, you are touching heaven right now. Go and do it. And then Nathan went to pray and said, no, you can't do it. He comes back and said, no, you're a man of war, but you're going to pay for it. And you're going to get the design from heaven, and God's going to take you on the mount, and you're going to see the whole thing. And you're going to lay it all out, and you're going to prepare the priesthood, and you're going to prepare the whole tabernacle, the designs and all of it. And you're going to get to give all the seed to it. But your son will build it. Did he ever build it? All of that came out of David's heart. That was a memorial. That was something forever. There's things in our life to the person that wants to give it all. There's something that can touch heaven beyond. I don't honestly know how to prepare something like that. All I can do at this point is ask to get prepared. But there's something that can cause a generational operation in God that can forever be memorialized. Cornelius had it. You remember? Peter showed up at his house, and his house was chosen for the outpouring to the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not receive it until it showed up there. God chose. He says, your what? Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial to God. Cornelius, your house has been chosen. You are the first fruits of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the Gentile world. That's you and me. It came out of Cornelius' house. He got it. He got the memorial. He got the whole thing. Something about his prayers and his alms, God was choosing the place. There are things that you do in this life that causes God to look at you. There's things that causes your choosing. There's things you can do that causes heaven go like this and zoom right into your life. In the temple of God, when he built in Solomon, he said, my eye will be upon your temple and my ear will incline to this temple. And even the stranger can come and pray that doesn't even know me. And I'll answer their heart that they may know I'm the true and living God. I'm doing this for David. There's something that every one of us have inside of us that can touch heaven, not only in this generation, for generations to come. There's something can be brought out of our life. It don't matter where you've been, what you did, who you were. There is something God's preparing, an offering of your life that becomes a memorial. That when you're gone, it'll keep speaking and keep speaking and keep speaking. And keep. I said, Lord, don't let this one pass by. Don't let my life pass by. The offering we're going to give him, this church, is he's forging an offering right now. I'm not talking about money right now. He's forging an offering not to anoint his death, but to anoint his resurrection. So there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection glory that's going to hit this house, and we're giving him a daily offering of faith every day for a new order, the day of the crown to be at hand. Kind of pulls you out of where you are and puts you into things that are important. Amen. Turn to John 14. Hey, by the way, when you're dealing with seed, you get to release your faith for multiplication. You get to do that. Don't let that die. That's part of the process. You get to release into that. We all know John 14. He's in the upper room, right? Verse 30. I sent you to the fields where you bestowed no labor. I sent you. Well, wait a minute. We haven't been sent anywhere, but in him you were sent because he was standing in front. Jesus could do this a lot. You got to listen to the face of God to understand that. Well, you're about to see one of these examples of the face of God here. So verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise. Do you think they all stood up? Let us go hence. He still had 15, 16, and 17 to go. They were still in the upper room. Where did they go? Watch what he's about to say. As soon as he said that, he moved out in front. What did he speak about in chapter 12? Planting of the seed, following it out. Where is he going now? The vineyard. They're not even born again yet. He doesn't even have the first fruits yet. And he's already speaking of a full-blown vineyard with fruit. Chapter 15, I am the true vine. Wait a minute, I thought you were the seed. I'm the vine now. I thought you were the seed. Yeah, I was the seed. I'm the full vine. My Father's now the husband of this glorious global vineyard. Why? Because he said, rise, let us go hence. He walked out into the future. Well, it's truth. He knew how to walk into the Father's truth. And he walked right out to where he was standing, not as the seed, the vine. And now he's speaking to them from the position of the full-blown vine, Father being the husband. Seed grew up. Seed was planted. Now it's a full vineyard. Your seed in chapter 12. We're in the upper room. You're washing our feet. Now you're a branch and you're a vineyard and you're a vine. He said, I said, arise, let us go hence. Are you going to follow me where I am? Or are you going to stay where you are? Because I don't have any limitation at this point. Wait till we get to chapter 17. I'll move you from the earth to the Father and I'll send you by the time we're done. All in one service. I'll call you out from the earth. They're of the world, Father, but I'm not of the world. Now they're not of the world. They're in me. But now I sent them. He does it all in one chapter. Because he moves up and down in his Father, to and fro. He can move through time. He wasn't just saying that. He went there. I sent you. He's standing in the position where he had already sent him. He could move in his Father like that. So every time he spoke from the finished position. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now you're clean to the word I've spoken you. He said, you're a branch in my Father's vineyard. You're part of the big tree. The seed's grown up. We're a big tree now. But you haven't been planted. He goes, but I have. Because I'm standing beyond the cross now. I'm standing in the vineyard my Father planted. I was the seed. Look at the vineyard now. You're a branch that's going to administrate this kingdom. And because you bear fruit, my Father's going to purge you. And you'll bear much fruit. The seed grew up. before it was ever planted. Because God planted it, but Christ could move up beyond the cross. He did it in the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember? Peter, James, and John all get caught up in the glory. They all got fast forwarded to the second coming. Peter goes, we bear witness of the coming of the Lord. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We were with him on the mount. We saw his glory. And he's speaking of the second coming of the Lord. That's the glory realm. That's what you and I are about to enter into in the last days. You know how God's going to do this? He's going to start translating us beyond where we are. And we're going to speak from the beyond position. Because faith calls those things from the be not realm into the realm that is. And until you get to the realm it is, the be not won't listen to you. We're in a be not realm here. God's realm is the realm of truth. We can speak to the be not realm and say, follow me where I am. That realm of glory is about to open wide to the remnant of the body of Christ. And the more you know about it, the more you're going to operate in it. There is meat being given to this generation. There are going to be operations being given to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see that are aligning themselves right now with the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And God is going to blow the absolute roof off of the thing. Because that's what he's offering you. Father, I will they be with me where I am. They can behold the glory and walk in it the way I do. Because he knew how to get in front of everything and speak to it. And he knew the earth would follow him. Praise God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.